so that the person turn away and never comes back to God. A brother offended is harder to win back. Oh, may we learn from God that mercy must come immediately. And he names certain people here in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 6. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, I redeemed you from the house of bondage. And he reminds them about the past. But of all the people he reminds, he picked a certain group because there is a message involved. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Three names are mentioned. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Then in chapter 7, two names are mentioned. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham. Why are these five names mentioned? Five is the number of grace. Why of all the other choice names he called up five? Because in chapter 6, restoration begins to take place. See, when you're pruned, you also need to be healed. When you're cut, you need to be covered. So the pruning is taking place in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Now he tells us how to cover back. Each one of these represents something. Moses represents the law. Aaron represents the priesthood. Miriam represents fellowship and worship. That's worship. Miriam danced unto the Lord. That was the only occasion of her in the ministry doing marvelously. So it tells us that no matter how you judge, this is how you need to show mercy. You need to give them the word represented by Moses. You need to give them the covering of the priestly ministry. You need to pray for them. You need to give them, number three, the fellowship and the communion with God. If a judgment takes a person away from the word, away from the priestly ministry, away from worship, it is not God's judgment. It is a judgment of the flesh. That is why Moses represents the word in the New Testament age. If you want to judge another person, don't judge by your own criteria. Don't judge by your own intellect. Don't judge by your own experiences. Don't judge by your own traditions. Judge righteous judgment. The word. In the end, it's not you and I who judge. The word judges. If you tell another person they are wrong, don't tell them they are wrong because of they are different from you. You don't speak in tongues like me, don't you're wrong. That's wrong. But you should say, the word says this. What do you think? See, that's number one. Judgment must not be given out without the word. Number two, judgment must not be given out if you haven't prayed for the person you judge. Priestly ministry. Number three, judgment must not be given out if you have not fellowship and worship with that person. If you're a total stranger, and if I haven't hold your hand and worship God with you, who am I to run you down on your sin? That is why we need to develop a skill to realize that a judgment to win back a person must be done by someone whom the person can draw back. It takes skill to win a person back to the Lord. It doesn't take skill to just lose a person. Easy to do that. Then in chapter 7, it tells us in the two lines in verse 20, you will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham. Jacob and Abraham represent two different things. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob represent God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Abraham is a type of God the Father. Isaac is a type of God the Son. Jacob is the type of God the Holy Spirit. He's telling you that after you bring the three elements of judgment, you need to bring the person back to the revelation of, after you have the revelation of the Son, which is the judgment, you need the revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's why I say truth to Jacob. Why? Because the spirit of truth. Mercy to Abraham, because the Father God is the Father of mercies. Chapter 7 tells us that after you meet out all those things with mercy, they have come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. You need to draw a person into the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Do you notice that the Bible always say to correct another one in the spirit of meekness? It's because you need the Spirit. You need the revelation of the Spirit. And then the revelation of the Father. And these are the two. With the revelation of the Son, all of us know the revelation of the Son, the works of Jesus Christ. But it's the revelation of the Spirit and the revelation of the Father God to a person's life that make a person complete. And chapter 7 actually talks about perfection. Do you know that we have a threefold revelation to the person of Jesus Christ? Jesus came to reveal Himself. Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus came to reveal the Holy Spirit. And we need to enter into the threefold relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, so that we enter into perfection. And that's what God wants to do in the last days in the Church of Jesus Christ. A threefold revelation. And why is it necessary in judgment? Because if the Holy Spirit is not involved in the correction, the person can never be one. Do you know that no man can come to God except is drawn by the Spirit of the Father? No one can really see themselves wrong, no matter how much someone tells them, unless there's a revelation that rings in the heart of the other person. That's why we need the work of the Holy Spirit in the other person's life. And then we need the work of the Father, the love of God drawing that person. A child who knows and who is assured of the Father's love will receive correction easily. A child that is not assured of the Father's love will run when correction is given. So we need the revelation of the Spirit, the Father heart of God, and the redemption of Jesus Christ that covers our sins, in order to fully restore a person. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You, Father, that You give us the understanding of the pruning process through the book of Micah, and also the eschatological understanding of those things that are coming in the second coming of Jesus. Father, we cannot truly say that we are 100%, Lord, in everything that You want us to be. Perhaps we are 50, 60, 70, 90, or 90 something percent. But God, we know there are so many things in our life that may not fully please You. And as we grow in You, they need to be pruned out of our life. We ask that You supply a great resource of mercy into our lives, and in Your gentle, merciful way operate in our lives, so that You build a perfect church. And Father, we pray for each individual here, Lord, that You begin to do an inner work in each life, and You teach us, O Lord, how to judge things and not people, how to judge righteous judgment. Father God, teach us to be like Jesus. And we pray, O God, that for those of us who are dry, who are in a patch of wilderness, that you draw them by your Spirit, and that we would have a willing heart to let you cut out from our life those things that are eating our love from you, taking our attention away from you, causing us to grow cold in you. Father God, let the fires of love burn again in our spirits and in our heart. Let the fires of the love of God be kindled in our life, that we love you eternally, O God. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rise together. And we are close to that song, In His Time. In His Time. You see, the pruning process is a time-consuming process in God.